My guest tonight is one of those crazy ones. As mentioned, his name is Jeffrey Platts, and here's an excerpt from his website that really sums up what he's all about. And it says, "I am passionate about helping men and women connect more deeply and authentically, both in dating and in life. After years of being the go-to guy for my men and women friends for their questions on dating, love, and sex, I now help others turn up the volume on their natural essence and attract more fulfilling relating experiences." That quote really captures the essence of my guest. So let's go ahead and welcome Mr. Jeffrey Platts to A New Conversation with Men. Hello, Jeffrey. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, Michael. What's going on? How are you doing?
Oh, man, we are just rocking and rolling, man, and just glad to have you on the show. And as mentioned, you are a revolutionary in my revolution, even though you may not even recognize it yet, my friend.
Well, thank you, man. Yeah, definitely. I would definitely say the same for you, man. I mean, I've definitely been inspired by, we've been connected for I don't know how long now, but, on Facebook and all this stuff, it's been great knowing what you're up to and seeing what you're up to. So I'm just, I'm inspired to be in the same league, man.
Absolutely.
It was really great to
again, and I'm just so fired up to connect with another like-minded individual who, again, we see all the problems in society, but there's few people that really step up and try to do something different, and you are doing something different. So, I want to commend you on that. So let's get started, and I want to break away from just sharing your bio and all the other stuff, because we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. But I want you to introduce Jeffrey Platts, the man. So just give us a little taste of who you are.
Well, let's see. Yeah, without the bios, right? Let's see. I'm just a regular guy, honestly. Like, a lot of the things that I share, if you read my blog, if you, talk to me and, see me and meet me and, my events and things like that, it's a lot of it's, I've studied and done workshops and trainings and all these things, but like, it's really just about me sharing my own lessons, the idea that, we teach what we need to learn, all the things that I, talk about, write about, teach about, coach about, all that is stuff that I'm actually practicing to this very day. I'm still out there, living life, relating with people, connecting, romantic, friendship, family, business. All this stuff, you can't escape it. Relationships are everywhere and they're a part of life. And so I'm, just living from my experiences and hopefully sharing what I've learned and things that I've, distinctions that I've made that have helped me. And that's, I'm blessed to be able to do that for others and have, and see the impact of that. So I'm just very grateful to be doing what I'm doing.
And that's, I think, one of the amazing things that's happening in our society that maybe a lot of people don't recognize is that there are a lot of people like yourself who don't claim to be experts, don't claim to be know-it-alls, but have a deep, sincere commitment to supporting others. And see, that's where I come from. See, I don't consider myself to be some sort of expert or know-it-all, but I know what I've learned over the last 20 years, and it is just in me to want to share that with other people. I mean, it's just, and I'm sure you have that same feeling that, you go through this process and you gain these insights about yourself and you just want to share them with other people. And I get that's exactly what you do.
It got to the boiling point pretty much. You know what I mean? Like, I've been studying this stuff since I was a teenager, right? Started with, reading Anthony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within, that first book back when I was a junior in high school. And, summertime, I was reading that book. And that's what started me on this path. And just got to the boiling point where I was, I was already helping my friends out, always, talking and helping. And I was like, I got stuff to say, I want to help and be of service to people. And, and I just, started out my blog, started sharing that, writing what I, the ideas that and insights that had come to me. And then just getting feedback from people, random, people either, email me and it's just been great. And then from there, evolved into coaching and doing these, workshops and game nights and circling and all these things. It's been an awesome journey so far, and I just can't wait to do more.
And that's interesting because you said you started reading Anthony Robbins when you were how old?
I was a junior in high school, so yeah, I was about 16, 17 years old.
16,
yeah.
It's amazing because when I think back to those years, all I was thinking about at those times was chasing women.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I, you know, basically, you know, if you look at me now, like, you know, it's been a long journey. You know, I was a really shy kid, you know, teenagers, you know, I had a lot of, as a teenager, I was, you know, shy. I spent a lot of my nights in my room by myself, you know, just kind of really quiet and shy, you know, got good grades. And so, you know, two things good came out of that is, you know, I got to, you know, I danced in my room a lot. So I got pretty decent, you know, decent moves. And then I listened to music a lot. So that, you know, two things, you know, I got really good at DJing from that. So those two things, you know, it all, you connect the dots looking backwards, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a lot of, basically that reading that book was pretty much pivotal for me, because it let me see that I don't need to be the same moving forward. You know, I can make some shifts, and there's possibilities that I can grow into that are not the existing situation. So I could, you know, hey, I'm shy now, but you look at me now, I'm, you know, the opposite of that. You know, I can, you know, I'm pretty comfortable, you know, in front of any crowd and any group. But before, yeah, I was, yeah, you know, letting that's go of the labels. You know, it was about letting go of the labels, you know?
Yeah. And that's pretty amazing, because, as mentioned, you know, back then, I say I was, you know, chasing women, but really I was so focused on making money. Because I started my first company when I was 13, and I was the type of guy that was always reading the How to Get Rich books. And I didn't have any clue as to the personal development aspect of becoming a better human being. All I was trying to figure out was, how could I get rich, you know, and gain the things that I thought were going to make me happy. And so, as mentioned, you know, that worked for a little while, because at a very young age, you know, I became very successful in mid-level management and things like that. But I hadn't begun asking myself the deeper questions. And it wasn't until my divorce that I did begin asking myself the deeper questions, like, who am I? Why am I here? What does it all mean? Those types of things. So it's interesting that you were even having those thoughts and reading that kind of information at such an early age.
Yeah, it was. What's that?
I said, that says a lot about who you are.
it's pretty innate. It was actually a book I think my parents had bought, and just it was sitting on the coffee table, and I just started picking it up. And then from there, you know, that pretty much started the path. And so, I went into, Anthony Robbins for a while, and then I did, you know, the whole Conversation with God and Eckhart Tolle, and then, more of a spiritual slant in recent years, and then in like the past like 5 or 6 years, more of a, you know, relationship and sexuality and those types of ideas. So it's been a really kind of like diverse journey since that book.
you've obviously grown into an amazing human being. So I want to talk a little bit about
first of all,
I want to start with your writing, because as mentioned, you and I met on Facebook. I don't remember how we made the connection, but I've been kind of following you on Facebook for a while. And to be honest, what really got me paying attention to your work was the music video that you would post on your Facebook page, because I'm a former DJ, and I grew up in the 70s and 80s, you know, with the Run DMCs and the Kumo V's and, you know, those guys, and I would read your post, and I said, man, this guy loves the same music that I grew up with, that I absolutely love. So I started listening to that, and then I started reading your blog, which, again, for those of you who are listening, it's at jeffreyplatz.com, and that's Jeffrey, JeffreyPlatts, jeffreyplatz.com. And, I mean, you've got some wonderful, thought-provoking stuff on there, and so I really wanted to talk just a little bit about, you know, your blog some of the articles that you have. And I wanted to just real quickly talk about the mojo. I mean, because I know exactly where you're coming from with that. And, you know, a lot of men, I think, really miss out, and they don't even understand that they have a mojo. And you wrote an article called 10 Ways to Destroy Your Mojo. So can you quickly talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, basically, it was kind of like a tongue-in-cheek thing, right? Because if you read that list, those are things that you, if you don't want, if you want to keep your mojo, then do not do those things. So yeah, just if anybody's reading that thing, you know, don't do those things. But yeah, basically it's those things that, pick up a list of things that you, if you do the opposite of those things, that you would be, you know, pretty much in your own, you're being in alignment with yourself. You know what I mean? Mojo I describe as like your inner swagger, your inner confidence. You feel grounded, you know, in who you are. You're not really seeking approval for someone else. You know, you're actually spreading good vibes to other people just in being who you are. And so, you know, he took a couple of things from that list, or, you know, like taking everything personally, you know. If you're looking around getting offended easily by every single thing that someone does or says, you know, you're going to get knocked off pretty easily. And so, you know, not asking for support, you know, being suspicious of everybody, and living a life that other people want for you. You know, if you're doing things right. that, you know, what society says or your parents say, you're not really kind of trusting your own gut and your own wishes. You're going to be knocked off. And so, yeah, I mean, I just like the word mojo. It's a great thing that kind of captivates what we all have, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, young or old. You know, there's a part of you, an essence of who you are, you know, whether you're calling, you know, the spiritual element of your soul, or whether it's just, you know, your personality or your inner self. But there's a part of you that's always there. And I think what, you know, my job, you know, in my writing or even in coaching or in these, you know, the relating games that I do and circling, this is kind of like to uncover the things that we put on top of them, you know, the mask that we wear, you know, the beliefs that we've had that don't serve us, that are not true, and that's why they feel bad to us because they're not true. Those things that we put on top of us that make us feel small and play small, you know, like we don't try for the things that we want because we don't think they're possible, because we have these loops in our head, we have these beliefs. So that's a great...
That's that's one of many great articles. So for all the listeners out there, if you're looking for some really good reading, and I love your style, very conversational without being too analytical. And mojo is one of my favorite words. I mean, because it really captures for me, again, as you mentioned, the inner essence, and we all have that. And too many times as men, we are so disconnected from that, we can't even relate to what our cool swag feels like. You know, we lose that because we buy into society's version of what we're supposed to do and be as a man.
Yeah.
But it's not who we are.
And it's individual. And like, me and my mojo is going to look different from you and your mojo, you know, somebody
Absolutely.
Else, you know, like it's like this. You know, and it's also like, you know, introverts got it, extroverts got it. It's like it looks different for different people. Every different type of person's got their own style. And that's about cultivating that, like you said, like it's in everybody. But yeah.
And that's what this work is about. It's about discovering your authentic mojo, which can be different, as you mentioned, for everyone. So for those of you who are listening, yes, you have a mojo. You got to find it. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to tap into it. And if you want to figure out 10 ways how not to find it and how to destroy it, read the article. But when you read it, it's going to really open your eyes and mind to the way that you actually can find it. So it's a really well thought out, well written article. So let's go ahead
and jump into
you talk about circling. And
so
tell us a little bit about what that is, how it works, and how people become involved in that.
Circling, basically, it's this group out in San Fran, Authentic World. That's who I did a training with them this past year, 2011. Did a training with them in circling, and so basically, in San Fran and Boulder is where this kind of circling work is taking off. You know, it's really expanding from those two places, and I'm bringing this work here to D.C. And so, circling is pretty much it's a group process. It's really done. It's done mainly in a group. And it's basically, you know, you have anywhere from, you know, 5 to, you know, 12 people. It can be done in more, but, like, usually around 10 people. And one person is the center of attention for a period of time, anywhere from 30 minutes to either more, you know, for an hour or so. It's organic in that way, but, you know, usually it's a set period of time. And the intention is to get their world. The attention is to get what it's like to be them and have them be, give them the experience of feeling seen for who they are.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's a pretty powerful experience. Very simple, like, because we're not trying to fix them. So it's not like we're going to the past and trying to heal them or fix them. We're not trying to go into the future and try to coach them and give them advice. It's really an in the moment, like it's almost like a mindful relating or a relational meditation. So it's a it's powerful. It's pretty powerful work. I, you know, when, during the training, that's a lot of it, you know, was just getting circled, and there's actually a circling event coming up in LA. I think if you go to authenticworld.org, they should have some information up there. Or you just, you know, email me on my website, and I can forward the information to that. But yeah, pretty much they've been. The process has been going on. I guess they've been refining the technique for about 10 years now, out in San Fran and in Boulder. And it's a great experience. And so I've been doing them pretty much weekly here for the past 4 months since I got back to DC. And it's pretty wild. It's pretty much you're going in and you're not assuming anything about somebody. Like, you know, like, you know, say, you know, you and your wife, and you and your wife were doing a circle, right? And she was, you and some friends and some other people that you don't know, and your wife was being circled. You wouldn't go in. You would try your best to look at her with fresh eyes, you know, like not having any assumptions about who she is, you know, almost like she's, if she was an alien, you know, an alien comes down here. You're like, I have no idea what your world is like. You know, what's it like? Right. So when, you know, what's it like for you to breathe? What's it like for you right now in this moment with us in this circle? You know, so it's an amazing technique. And so, yeah, if you're in the D.C. area and you want to find out more about it, yeah, definitely, you know, email me. And, yeah, there's, you know, that there's also, you know, groups in Boulder and San Fran and other places that I can pass on as well. But
and so the process is, what is it, an all-day thing or multiple days?
It's like an evening, you know. The ones I do here are about 3 hours long. You know, it's like we usually do like two people per evening, so like, you know, about 30 minutes or so per person, and that's usually, you know, a good chunk of time, you know, and go by quickly depending on who's getting circled. And it's just a beautiful experience of just even in if you're not being circled, the experience is just as powerful, because you're actually being of service to someone in this safe space where you can really just relate with someone and just really share the feedback with each other. Like, so it's not like a silent thing. There's actual conversation going on. It's, you know, I facilitated, whoever's facilitating the circle generally is like air traffic control. You know, they're kind of holding the space for the circle and kind of making sure that people, you know, are kind of doing it in a way, because, you know, it's kind of hard to describe in some ways, but you know what circling is and what it isn't. So there's a lot of subtle ingredients. So it helps when there's a facilitator there to navigate the you know, those subtle ingredients that make a circle really, really jive.
Got it.
Yeah. And just a clarification, the person is not in the circle. So you're not in the middle of the circle. You're actually you're part of the circle. We just turn and face you. People have that idea that you're actually in the center, but it's not.
I'm sure that would terrify a lot of people. What do you mean I got to get in the middle of the circle?
Yeah. And it's one thing that nobody is forced. So if you come to a circling event, we're not, it's all voluntary. So, like, you know, we say whoever wants to get circled, and usually people, you know, they come around and, you know, they get circled. But you can come to, you know, 10 circling nights and not get circled and just get value from circling others. So,
yeah, you know, I've noticed in this process of myself in the last 20 years, I sometimes gain as much from not participating, just really being with the people that are participating.
It
can be transformative just being in that space. You know, if we're open minded enough, and open heart enough. So let's talk a little bit about coaching.
Yeah,
now, coaching is one of those things that has really taken off in a lot of different areas. Now, my belief, this is just Michael Taylor's belief. I don't have any scientific evidence to prove it, but this is just what I believe. Coaching is the continuation of what I'll call the human potential movement that started back in the late 60s and early 70s. I don't know if you remember, there were people that were starting all these processes, EST as an organization, all these different companies.
Yeah, it became Landmark,
It became Landmark. And so all this thing, I think it actually started back then. And what coaching is, I think, is that, you know, a lot of us have done all the trainings and so forth, but now It's like they're breaking. We're breaking off individually, and we're able to take some of those same experiences and share with other people to help them improve the quality of their life. And to me, that is part of the human evolution process. The human evolution process for me means that as human beings, we are still constantly evolving. And what's evolving, again, this is Michael Taylor's interpretation of this.
Yeah.
As we continue to evolve, what's evolving is our awareness, our consciousness. And so when we engage in these types of things and we expand our consciousness and awareness, we actually help humanity evolve. And so
yes.
People like yourself that gain all this knowledge and wisdom, and then they have this drive to want to support others in finding their mojo or finding their passion, that to me is part of the evolutionary process. And me being the eternal optimist that I am, I believe that coaching is going to continue and to actually be magnified, because the more people that get involved with this kind of work, the more people that awaken to who they really are, the better the plan is going to be.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree. Yeah.
And so coaching, again, allows us to not be experts per se, but to gain the knowledge and wisdom that can help people create positive outcomes in their lives. And that, to me, is the beauty of it. And so, as mentioned, I don't have any real formal training, degrees, or any of that. But what I have is, number one, my own life experiences that I've lived versus reading about in a book. And
yeah.
So I'm able to relate to people on a heartfelt level because I try to speak from that place. But this whole process, this whole, I don't want to call it an industry, but that's really what it is. The whole industry
yeah.
of coaching,
yeah, yeah.
I believe it's a very powerful, positive thing, because it's like all these little conscious, aware people are going out into the world with all this training that started back in the 60s and 70s and saying, look, let's just keep this process moving and help as many people as possible become aware of who they are.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you are a coach. So for a person who has absolutely no idea what we're talking about and what coaching is and how it might help them, give them a little taste.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. For me, how I define coaching is somebody that has a certain level of perspective, experience. It could be training as well. All that is good. So basically, they're someone that has a way of looking at things that can be of value to you. And so coaching is you know, you go into somebody for coaching, you know, they can help you see things that you can't see on your own. And then that can help you also give you some accountability as you move forward. So like, hey, I want to be better at dating, or I want to, you know, attract a relationship, or I want to build a business, or whatever it is. You know, I want to streamline my lifestyle so I'm not, you know, I'm not a slave to technology. I'm addicted to my iPhone. I need some help, you know. So basically, it's somebody that can give you guidance and perspective and listen, and really listen. You know, pretty much a lot of my clients, you know, they're talking and I'm listening to what they're saying, but also what they're not saying. You know, it's like in the silent things that they're not telling me that I'm like, wait, you need to mention that. So it's really like, you know, mindful listening to the client and then sharing, you know, any perspectives or insights that I have from my own experience or that I've studied. And so that's that's pretty much how I view it. And I think, you know, I've had a coach for, you know, for a while now, and I've had, you know, many different coaches throughout the years. And it's just amazing just, the, you know, the level of insight that can come from these conversations and support and then growth. And it all works, you know, on vibe too. Like, you got to find a coach that you really, you know, dig with, you know, that you generally like and get along with and you have similar vibes. At the same time, you don't want a coach that's just going to be your friend. You know, you got to have a little
right.
bit of like,
right.
A little bit of that edge that's going to, he's going to push you or she's going to push you. So.
Yeah, don't call you on your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, for those of you who are listening, as we're talking about this process of coaching, let's make a quick distinction here between coaching and therapy. Coaching
yes.
is not therapy. If you have some emotional issues that you need to deal with, it's not the job of a coach to help you deal with and clean up your past. A coach's job, in my opinion, and I don't do individual coaching, but this is my understanding of coaching. A
yeah.
coach's job is to support you And not only just setting goals and getting clear on how to attain those goals, but to really be that as Jeffrey just said, the person that holds you accountable to attaining those goals. Because a lot of times, all we really need is just that. We kind of have this idea, I believe I can do that, but. Well, sometimes a coach's job is to help you move past that but and to say, yes, you can do that. And so I personally believe that as a human being, you have the capacity within you to be, to do, to have anything your heart desires. I believe that wholeheartedly. Most people won't accept that. But when you get behind, or you get someone behind you that has that strong belief and challenges and supports you to really embrace that, that's nothing you can't accomplish. And so
yes,
a coach's job is just that, is to help you, as Jeffrey said also, see the blind spots that you may not see that's keeping you from attaining your goals. But the coach is really a champion for you to make sure that you tap into, as we mentioned earlier, your mojo or whatever that is, and then set up the goal that you want to accomplish, and then to help you get there. And so,
basically to bridge that gap. Yeah.
Yeah. So those of you who are listening, and so maybe you just kind of feel stuck. You know, maybe you have a job that you've been at for a long time, and you're thinking, I want to change careers, but now I don't want to risk, losing my job. A coach can be a good kick in the pants that just says, look, dude, it is absolutely possible for you. So what is it going to take for you to make that happen? And let me support you in doing that. And so, coaching is one of those things that you have to be careful with, because there are a lot of people that say, well, I'm a coach, and have no clue as to what they're doing. So you got to be really careful. And my suggestion, if you're considering hiring a coach, is that you always check references. The people who can not just vouch for, that can authenticate this person's ability. And Jeffrey, what do you think about that? How would you go about finding a good coach?
Referrals are really good. A good way of getting, like you said, checking references and, like, reading some testimonials from people on their website is also good. And just kind of, you can trust people, you can trust your vibe a lot of times, like the thing that I recommend is, usually most coaches, they do an introductory session, a strategy session that you can, I offer one as well. If you're looking to hire me as a coach, then, we just do a complimentary strategy session just to kind of see what you're looking for, and then B, if we're a good fit. To see if we're a good fit based on what you're looking for, and just kind of, where do you want to go, and how do you think the coaching role will support you? So that's pretty much, that's the main thing. Generally, a lot of coaches now have websites that are pretty, good. Multimedia. You can see their videos, you can see their interviews, you can see, what their articles they've written. So it's pretty easy now, I think, to find a coach that you can resonate with based on their website. But then, definitely. If they have ability to have references or testimonials on their site, that's definitely good. And but then you're looking for what you're wanting too. If you want business coaching, then go to a business coach. Don't go to a love and dating coach. So it's,
right.
Same thing with if you're looking to lose weight, I'm probably not your guy, but I definitely know a lot of coaches that do, wellness and weight loss coaching as well, which is another booming industry as well. So
Very good. Very good point. You've got to find a coach specifically for your needs.
Yeah.
So that's awesome advice. So on the subject of coaching, let's move over to what you call your authentic relating game night.
Yes.
Because I kind of see that as a coaching. But tell us a little bit about your authentic relating game nights.
Yeah. Those again spawned by the guys over at Authentic World in San Fran. They've been doing these for a couple of years now. And so when I was out there doing the training for Circ Grand, I also started learning how to do these game nights. And it's great. What it is an evening. We actually have one tomorrow night. It's sold out in D.C. We have one coming up tomorrow night. It's an evening that is where people can just come and in a playful, fun space, just explore the art of relating. Really like play with the masks that we wear in our daily lives, you know, the social masks we wear, and really kind of just drop in and just get real and maybe share a little more of ourselves in interactions with people. And so the games are, they're relating games. So there's no Parcheesi, there's no Monopoly, no Taboo, no nothing. It's just partner and group exercises that are designed to kind of have us show up, you know, in a fun way. And you know, I work it so it's a really fun, playful vibe, safe space, everybody. But we also, we share, at, you know, after each round of games, we do some sharing and get some insights of what it was like for certain people and, you know, what they've learned. So you really come and, like, it's a really an amazing evening. You know, you come and you learn a lot about yourself, you learn about other people, you learn about how you interact with people, and, you know, hopefully meet a lot of cool people as well. So, yeah, I've been doing it for about since May of last year here in D.C., and it's just been awesome. And there's a bunch, you know, spawning up around the country now. There's, you know, even some in London and L.A. and definitely in Boulder and San Francisco is where they kind of started off. But, yeah, there's a bunch all over the country now and over the world. So, yeah, they're really fun. They're really a fun night. And it's just a, you know, it's not like a workshop. There's nothing, none of that heavy, like, you know, we're here to work on our communication skills. You know, none of that kind of stuff. It's kind of, you get a lot of insights, you know, through the back door. You know what I mean? they pop up, you know, without you even knowing that. But the intention is a light and fun, playful night.
Got it. So for the listening audience, if you want to phone in right now, if you got any special questions you want to ask Jeffrey, then the phone lines are open. It's 347-826-9384. If you're not in front of a computer or on the phone, that's how you reach us. That's 347-826-9384. And then press 1, and that'll let me know you're in the queue and you have a question. So on that note, Jeffrey, you talked about these authentic relating nights, game nights. And so tonight's conversation is about the new rules of dating for men.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there are a lot of men out there that are thinking, authentic relating game nights. I bet there's some women there. Will I get the hookup if I go to this thing? So is this night also about connecting like that?
Well, the game nights that I run here in D.C. are community nights, meaning that they're for anybody, whether you're single, young, old, gay, straight, doesn't matter. Whether you come with your partner, you come with your wife, come solo, both of you together, it's all good. Because they're really designed for anybody can just drop in and connect and be real with each other. That said, you know, I know for a fact that you will definitely learn some relating skills that will definitely enhance your dating life, whether you're a man or a woman. So, I mean, that said, that should not discourage you. And, yes, I'm sure there definitely are single people that come, but the vibe is not like a speed dating type thing. It's not like a pickup scene so much. It's more of a, really just, you know, good quality people that are really just craving, I think, deeper connections. Because I think we all do on some level, definitely in cities, like here in D.C., you know, that's why I think it's even taken off is because there's such a need for just real connection, you know, the sense of shared humanity. Like, we don't have that much anymore with our, you know, technology and Facebook and Twitter and iPhone and all that stuff. We're always behind a screen, you know, relating with each other, you know, through that or texting. And I think real, raw, direct human connection is something that's kind of a lost art nowadays. And I think some people come to these things and have these amazing experiences with seemingly strangers, right? I mean, you met these people, you know, 20 minutes ago, and here you are having these amazing connections with these people. It's pretty powerful stuff. And so I'm just grateful to be able to kind of create this space for people to show up in that way.
And on that note, what about your eye-gazing parties? You talk about connection. Eye-gazing party that you facilitate. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's got to be something that's creating some connection.
Those were I first heard about them, I think, in Tim Ferriss's book about a couple years ago, and then this guy Michael Ellsberg started doing them out in, I think, San Fran and New York, one of the two or both. And they're amazing parties, pretty much like speed dating without talking. So you basically, there's music in the background, and then you just stand in front of a group of, you know, opposite sex, you know, partners, and you're just men and women just gazing into each other's eyes for about 2 minutes each, and then you switch. And so it's silent the entire time. So you then afterwards we do a little bit of sharing, kind of like, hey, what was that like for people? You know, what any insights come up? You know, did you notice anything different between the different people that you gaze with? And from there, you know, we just mingle. And so from there, it's pretty. The vibe of the party, like as a facilitator, I can see it, you know, from the vibe of the party before we gaze and after is like distinctly different. Like the energy of the room is amazingly more rich. You know, it's richer than it was before. Like there's something that happens when people just drop in and connect without words that is powerful. And so, and we do some gazing at the game nights, but there's no romantic, you know, it's like men with men, women with women, doesn't matter. It's like, you know, it's just, we just switch partners all around, so it doesn't really matter who you're with. So there is some gazing done at the game nights, but it's not a romantic context. So, right. I mean, just in general, like I've practiced, you know, better eye contact over the past few years, and it's just an amazing difference that it makes. If you want to talk about, like, you know, dating rules for men, I mean, that's something to kind of keep in mind. It's just, you know, holding eye contact, being with the person in front of you.
Got it. And on that note, for all you listeners out there, I do want to highly recommend, go to Jeffrey's website at www.jeffreyplatz.com, and you can find out all the information about all the things that he does. And, again, he's got some great blog articles there for you to read. Definitely part of a new conversation with Men Revolution, that he's inspiring men, empowering men to be better men. So, again, this is a great opportunity for you to deepen your own understanding of who you are. And that's what this whole dialogue and conversation is about. So, again, Jeff, we're talking about the new rules of dating for men. And I wanted to give the people an opportunity just to kind of, you know, get to know what your work is about. And I want to ask you a couple of specific questions now.
Yeah.
Pertaining to men, just to kind of get your feedback and ideas on some of these things. So the first question I want to ask is, do you feel and believe that there is a shift going on that is actually challenging men to seek deeper and more meaningful relationships?
I would say yes. I think there's a shift. I think in general, you know, whether it's men with romantic relationships or not, but in general, I think there's a craving for just more human connection, you know, and definitely with men and with, you know, relationships that are romantic, you know, there's definitely, I think, a desire for just fulfillment, you know. I think we have all these ways that we check out, you know, and whether it's Facebook or porn or the internet or junk food or drinking or whatever it is, we all have these video games, we all have these ways as guys that we check out and, you know, avoiding these uncomfortable emotions that we should be facing and feeling through and acknowledging rather than kind of like numbing ourselves. And so I think just, you know, having, you know, powerful and meaningful interactions with both women and other men, you know, I do a men's group here in D.C. and that has been transformational for myself as well as the men involved. Just, you know, having more connected relationships with men and just dropping in and being real, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to kind of watch the game with your buddies. It's one thing to, you know, talk politics or whatever it is, but to really just kind of drop in and be like, hey, you know, what's going on with you and your wife? You know, what's going on with you in your career? You know, how you doing with money? Like, what really having these just honest conversations help men in their own lives, but also help them connect better with women, you know, just helping better with
so
relationships in general.
Do you sense then that men are becoming more open to this type of work?
I think so. Especially,
yeah.
If you know, I think there's been a transition even within like the whole, you know, pickup artist community. You know, over the years, there's been kind of like a subset of people that are kind of like, you know what, I've been there, I've done that, I've proven that I could get, you know, get women's numbers and get, you know, one night stands and all that stuff. But there's definitely people that get, you know, once you've done that, you want to, you know, have more meaningful interactions. So I think there's definitely, you know, there's definitely an evolution in that process of, you know, I got involved with the guys at Authentic World, and they're definitely an amazing group that does good stuff. There's a lot of different authors and, you know, and things out there that are really about making your life really, really, really fulfilling in all levels. romantically, financially, spiritually, professionally, emotionally, all these things. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, and when the time is right, I think it just the guy goes on Google and, or you know, asks his buddies, you know, hey, you know, what's going on? What have you been doing lately? Your relationship with women are amazing. You know, what's going on? What have you done? They tell them, hey, I went to this course, or I read this book, or I worked with this coach, or I read this blog article, whatever it is. You know, they're seeking it out, which is great.
Yeah.
You know. That's how a lot of people come across my work and other people's work. They just seek it out, and when the student's ready, the teacher appears, right?
Sure.
You
know. Now, in terms of numbers, what percentage do you think would be male versus female in your events? More women, more men?
Actually, it's about 50-50. You'd be surprised. Even with the circling, you would think like, oh, that's more of a, you know, communication and relations and emotions, you would think it'd be mostly women, but actually it's 50-50 here in D.C. at least. A lot of guys, you know, show up for that, especially with the game nights as well, same deal. It's really been awesome. I've really loved, it's been one of the highlights of the past year is creating these spaces for people to just connect and relate better as just human beings. And so, it's been surprisingly pretty balanced, at these events,
And so just what would be an age group for your events? What age group do you think?
Because these particular ones are not dating related, it's pretty, age range. We've had, I think, up to like 60 is, you know, the oldest person we've had so far, and the youngest is probably like 22. So, I mean, I would say the average, you know, if you want to go the average, between 25 and 40, I would say, is like the average, you know, group. And
I would just guess, and this is obviously just a guess, that younger men would be more open than older men.
Interesting.
I know some of the old school guys, you know, when I'm saying old school, I'm talking, you know, I'm in my 50s. But I still got a young young mojo, so age is just a number. But
I can tell that. I can see that, man. I can see that.
But I do notice that, you know, the people that are attracted to what I do tend to be 40 and younger.
Yeah.
And there just seems to be a hesitancy among older men that they're trapped in this belief system that you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
yeah, it's like almost like I think the ones that do, probably if they are older, it's probably because they reach a tipping point, you know what I mean? Like, hey, you know what? My life is not what I'm looking for. Same thing with the young guys, too. Like, I've been playing video games by myself every night for the past 5 years. I'm not meeting any women. I got to do something different. You know what I mean? They reach that point where, like, you know, I've been married 25 years and I just got divorced and I have no idea how, you know, what to do with my life. You know, like, you reach these like milestone moments in your life where you need, you know, you realize it's not what you're wanting and you seek out some help or some support. So, I guess it's a mixed bag in my experience as far as like who comes to the events and who the coaching clients are, you know, it's a mixed bag, but I would say the average age is probably between, the median, the middle group is about 25 to 40, both men and women. So.
And so how about diversity? What types of groups do you have in terms of different cultures, different?
Well, because it's D.C., honestly, it's a pretty diverse group. Yeah, I mean, we definitely get a range of, you know, sexual orientation, you know, international, you know, people from other countries, you know, racial, obviously gender as well. So, like, it's really cool. It's a really cool mix, you know, to see, like, every week is, or every month that I do these events, especially the game nights, it's pretty same thing with circling. It's pretty diverse. It's pretty diverse. It's you know, I like that. And I'm sure if it was in another, you know, rural area or maybe in the middle of the country, it could be different. But in D.C., it's pretty, you know, being a metropolitan and cosmopolitan area, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and also I think when you have the higher education, because, you know, Washington, D.C. has one of the higher education.
Yeah, that's true.
Most educated group, so you probably get more people. Because I'm sure that the more educated you are, the more open you'd probably be to this kind of stuff. And that's just my conversation. But I would just assume that, again, D.C. being that type of a city, so well educated, so diverse.
It's really interesting. It probably would take some polling to kind of see like who are the people that are coming to these events. But the overall theme that I do see is the common denominator is really just people like, you know what? I've looked at my interactions in my social life, and I'm just tired of like just going to bars and having the same types of conversations. I really just don't go deep. They don't have these meanings. They don't have this. They don't have this spark. You know what I mean? Like they don't have this amazing like connecting spark in between the people that are having the conversation. So like they come out here usually as an experiment. You know, but it's a Saturday night. I got nothing. It's one night. Let me check it out, see what it is. And usually they get hooked and they want to come back. So it's been a fun just journey, just watching the evolution of the groups. And I started out doing it at people at my friend's house. We had a living room. We just started doing it just to kind of test the waters and see who's going to come out to these things. And then now I ran out a yoga studio for the whole night, and we end up just taking up the whole space. So it's awesome.
Awesome. Well, I want to close with some final thoughts from you in terms of what tips, especially for the guy that's listening, like you said, maybe he's attached to his video games and scared to go out in the dating world, or maybe there is a guy out there that's listening that, maybe has gone through a divorce and really confused about this whole dating scene, or, you've got all different types of guys out there, but just from your perspective, because what I sense about you, Jeffrey, is that you do have your mojo. and what I mean by that is you found what you're absolutely passionate about, and it shows in your communication and your writing and so forth. So there are a lot of men that are listening that they haven't found that, they don't even know what that means. So just from your perspective, what tips would you share with someone who's listening that not only about relationships but just finding that mojo?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things stand out. The first thing is study yourself, expand your self-awareness, take some time. I mentioned the distraction earlier, literally like spend some time, whether it's one night a week where you just kind of, turn off the TV, turn off the phone, turn off the computer, and just kind of like maybe bring out a notepad and just start writing, some questions. Ask yourself some questions about yourself. Who am I? What am I about? Where do I want to go? Is there anything holding me back? That's the first thing. That's what started me on my journey, and it's continual. I'll never stop expanding my self-awareness. I'm always going to be, trying to understand myself and look at my patterns and how to improve. Second thing is to like yourself. It's really hard to add value to the world if you don't own your own value.
Yeah.
If you don't think you have anything to offer, you're pretty much not going to offer anything because you don't think you have anything. So you pretty much have to, really just start liking yourself, like being kind to yourself, appreciating yourself. I don't use the word love yourself as much because it's kind of tricky. Sometimes, that's kind of like an esoteric concept, right? Love yourself, but appreciate yourself, be kind to yourself. You can do that. It's easy to understand that concept, right? Especially as a guy. Just learning to, those are the two main things, really just start studying yourself and then ask for support, get support, ask for help, letting go of, the Lone Ranger mentality, whether it's like starting up a men's group, getting some, really conscious buddies of yours, that are really wanting the same kind of life that you're wanting to create for yourself, and so you can support each other, start maybe just one guy, one buddy of yours that you want to just really drop in and have a good, real conversation. I want my life to shift. It may require, even losing some buddies if they're bringing you down. If they're not really up to par with where you want to go in your life. If they got habits, say if all your buddies want to stay home and play video games and drink and smoke pot, then maybe you gotta, find some buddies to like working out, being active, whatever.
Yeah.
So really like noticing your environment and like getting having people that support you. In your life. Those are the three things that stand out in terms of how to get started on a journey if you are wanting to recreate your life in a new way and start a new direction. But reading. I'm a big fan of reading, man, especially with podcasts like yours, and other ones that are out there that are really good. If you're driving to work, just feed your mind, expose yourself to new ideas. whether it's in health or relationships or whatever it is, but like read, feed your mind, garbage in, garbage out. So like, you know, turn down the talk radio a little bit and put on some audiobooks.
There you go. And I completely concur with all of those things. So, Jeff, I want to give you an opportunity now just to kind of share your contact information. If you got any events coming up that you want to promote, here's an opportunity to share it with the audience.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, my website's, you know, jeffreyplatts.com. So JeffreyP as in Peter, LATTS.com. I also have a fan page on Facebook if you want to check that out. Facebook.com/ it's Jeffrey Adrian Platt, so JeffreyAdrian, P as in Peter, LATTS. So that's my fan page. You can find out about all my events on there. And, yeah, it's pretty much, you know, if you're in the game, right, if you're in the D.C. area, I can I'll let you know about those. You can contact me on our website as well. And also, if you live in somewhere else that's not D.C., I can put you in touch with other game night facilitators that are in other cities, you know, whether San Fran or D.C. or New York or North Carolina. I can definitely, hook you up that way. So, yeah, totally, yeah, just pretty much a website is like a portal for everything that I do. So if you, whether it's iGaming Party, teaching yoga, DJing, game night, another game night coming up on the 25th of February. So tomorrow's sold out, but there's one coming up next month, so you can find all about that on my site as well.
Fantastic. Well, I will summarize all you just said for all you listeners out there, and I want to answer this question for you that I posed to Jeffrey. How did you get started? And I think Jeffrey touched upon it, but it's really simple, guys and girls, actually, because I have women that listen also. But it is my fervent belief that Shakespeare had it right when he said, "To thine own self be true." And unfortunately, too many of us we've been conditioned to believe that we aren't these amazing, awesome human beings that we really are. So we have to learn how to be true to ourselves. And one way to do that, as Jeffrey mentioned, is to make a commitment to your own personal growth and transformation. And so that could be reading books. That could be participating in one of Jeffrey's circles or whatever it takes. But you have to get out of your comfort zone and be willing to take a risk. And that risk will always bring reward. So make sure that you know that you have within you the capacity to be, to do, to have anything your heart desires, and you now have a couple of resources that can support you in that. So, Jeff, I just want to say thanks, guys, for hanging out with me for an hour.
My pleasure, man. It's been a pleasure myself, man. I'm really glad we're connected on, you know, we connected on Facebook, and it led to even us doing this radio show. I'm really honored and touched that you reached out, man. I appreciate it. I'd love to do it again. So anytime you want, I'm happy to.
Absolutely. One day we'll get it face-to-face.
Yes. For sure, we'll play some old school jams on the speakers, man.
It's all, my friend. Well, thanks a lot, man. Have a great evening.
All right, thanks again, man. You too. Take it easy.